Well, the Adelaide Test finished last night, and the man on the ground was Chris Barrett. He was there. He watched every ball. He can comment on every ball, unless he went to the Adelaide wineries last night, and then he mightn't be in such good shape. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, sure. Yeah, so, yeah, well, I didn't go to the wineries, but, yeah, not quite the absolute truth, but most of the balls. I can comment on some of them.
The Australian cricket team, the new era of Australian cricket team with several changes to the personnel, got the victory last night. Look, they were better. And I'm sure Steve Smith, he in his post-match press conference, alluded to the fact they were better. But I think he was circumspect in the fact he said, it's going to take a little bit more time and let's not start counting our chickens just yet.
Yeah, well, look, that's right. I mean, it's a dead rubber. And I don't think you could say they're completely back, could you? Just based on one test match victory. But certainly positive signs. You know, Usman Khawaja, as Steve Smith said, is basically... put forward a template for how Australian top six batsmen should bat. Just a fantastic innings. I think probably the best test match 100 by an Australian in at least a couple of years since Michael Clarke's in Cape Town, I reckon. So a really good start for a young group, which Smith said last night. And I think the only shame of it is now that they don't actually get to stay together for immediately. They sort of break up for a couple of weeks because half the sides will be different for the one-day series. Obviously, that one-day series against New Zealand's been thrown into the mix this summer, so they won't actually reassemble now for a couple of weeks when they get back together in Brisbane for the first test against Pakistan. But, yeah, I don't think we should be getting too far ahead of ourselves, Jill, but it's nice to be reporting on something other than a crisis.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, some things to come out of the test match, and we'll get to the one-day series and what that's going to look like shortly. But obviously, Renshaw, there's been a lot of talk, and there's a lot of talk in the commentary last night, technically, that he has a little bit of work to do, and some of his footwork and his technique, I think, will get exposed the more cricket, because you'll get analysed or not. What did you make of Renshaw and also, while we're at it, Hanscom and his debut and obviously Nick Mansell, who didn't get much of an opportunity?
Yeah, look, I think Renshaw, you couldn't be anything but impressed by his temperament, I thought, for
absolutely.
One. He handled a couple of really difficult moments, didn't he? In that first innings, there was it was a mix-up that meant that David Warner couldn't open at the last second because he'd been off the field too long, giving treatment for a shoulder problem. And he went out and batted for really 12 really important overs with Usman Khawaja that evening in difficult conditions. And, I think what shows on the scoreboard for Matt Renshaw mightn't be that much of a standout, but he did play a pretty important role here. I found it interesting that even the commentators were getting into him a little bit last night for not scoring too quickly. You know, he was really moving along like a snail, I guess, and maybe they were a bit impatient to get to the airport or get out afterwards. But, yeah, I think what Australia was missing, certainly, was Steve Smith said in Hobart and before, was resilience, wasn't it?
And
ability to leave the ball and a desire, so I suppose, to bat time. And, yes, he took a while to get there, but he was there the whole innings, and he also survived another hairy moment, I guess, with that run out with Dave Warner. That has been quite unsettling, but he continued on after that with little drama. Of the other ones, I mean, yeah, Peter Hanscom's half century was pretty impressive too, wasn't it? He looks a pretty mature head for a 25-year-old, I reckon. And as you said, Nick Maddison, I mean, I know he didn't score in his innings, but he came in at a very difficult time. Mm. He got an absolute beauty from Rabada, that Yorker. So I think it's probably a bit premature to be making too many judgments about him just yet.
Chatting with Chris Barrett from the Sydney Morning Herald, who's been on deck down there at the Adelaide Oval for the Pink Ball Test match, which is here to stay for a very, 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 very long time. I am fascinated, Chris, with Faf du Plessis and wonderful innings in the first dig, fantastic century under pressure with all the drama and the controversy and the build-up, which I'd loved. I'm interested what his responses are going to be when he holds his first media conference when he lands back on South African soil about the treatment he perceives he got, one from the Aussie cricketers, two from the Aussie public, and then from the ICC. I'm just wondering whether he'll unload on us or not.
Yeah, he might. I mean, he thinks he's hard done by. I think he's sort of made a bit much of it. To be honest, he has milked the situation. I reckon. I mean, he's not the first Test cricketer to be booed. I think you can ask Michael Clarke, who was booed on home soil. Well, once or twice anyway. I think he's obviously a fantastic player, and it was one of the his century here was probably just about every good, a bit as good as Usman Khawaja.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Considering,
but I reckon he's quite a provocative type as well. He's a smooth character, and I found it interesting actually the way he was talking about his own captaincy, and he appeared to have a desire to maintain the job full time. I mean, Abby de Villiers is obviously the full time captain, and who's out injured. And I thought it was very odd the way Faf was dealing with that question when it was brought up, basically saying, well, AB's got my full support, he's one of my best friends, but unless the selectors decide to go another way, he's got my support until then. So I would have thought that's the sort of thing that will be one of the first things on the agenda when he gets back, possibly AB asking him what the hell was that all about.
My take on it is AB doesn't want to be captain.
Well, the latest report is that AB comes straight back in.
Yeah, he'll come straight back in as a player.
As captain.
And he may do, but I think being captain of South African cricket is actually quite a tough job with all some of the issues that have politically.
Yes, it is a tough job.
Graham Smith, I remember talking to him about it very briefly, and he said...
With the quota system and all
that. With the quota system and things like that. But, it's one of those jobs. And look, I'm sure there'll be some discussion about it, but... I'd imagine if AB wanted it, you would give it to AB.
And Chris, just a quick one too for me. When we say, was it confirmed that the match payment for a South African cricketer was $2,500 for a test match?
No, I didn't have that confirmed. No, but I mean they don't get paid.
But is that roughly what you would think?
Well, the Australians get $15,000.
$15,000.
Yeah, I would have thought it'd be a little way north of that, but I know their central contracts are obviously nothing like the Australians. But obviously that fine, however you make of it, was not particularly large, was it?
No.
I think he probably had every right to miss this Test match. It was the ICC were ducking and weaving, I reckon, realizing that South Africa were pretty annoyed at the situation. And I think the South Africans in general, right up to Haroon Logat, their CEO, didn't handle it particularly well. They've sort of fallen back into a siege mentality about that whole ball tampering issue, even to the point of having a sneaky go at Dave Richardson, the former South African wicketkeeper, who's now head of the ICC, suggesting he was part of the ball shining brigade, not ball tampering brigade, back when he was playing for South Africa. So, I reckon it hasn't really taken the shine off their tour, to be honest. It's been a fantastic series win. I think we'll probably remember guys like Rabada and
Boomer
and De Kock and that. But it left a little bit of a bad taste, I suppose.
So, Chris, we've got to run, but I can ask you one quick question about David Warner. He's got a shoulder injury. Will we see him in the one-day series?
Possibly not, but I think he's okay. David Warner, Darren Lehman said it was precautionary, etc. I mean, I'm not sure that they'll necessarily play him if there's any drama at all, because it was interesting he continued not to throw from the outfield.
Absolutely, that's my question. You can't do that in one-day cricket.
I'm surprised if he has a spell. The early finish means that they'll probably play Mitchell Starc and Josh Hazlewood at least in that first game anyway.
Okay.
So I reckon you'll probably see most of the guys who the test players who were picked in the squad backing up in Sydney next week.
Chris, thank you for your time this morning. Travel safely on your way back to Sydney. We always enjoy talking to you every week about the world of cricket, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Good on you guys. Cheers.
There he is, Chris Barrett from the Sydney Morning Herald, lead cricket writer, the Australians. Well, they've got a victory, TK, and it's the start of something big, hopefully, for the young brigade of players.